Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we have been studying the second coming as described in Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. This is part of an in-depth verse-by-verse study of the entire chapter. Today we find ourselves at verse 31, where we'll examine the identity of the elect who is being gathered there in that verse. The passage reads as follows, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other." And the question of interpretation boils down to this. Who are the elect in this passage? Is this the rapture? If it is, then the Bible would seem to teach a post-tribulational rapture at this point. Or does this passage relate to something or someone entirely different? So we'll discuss this passage from three points today. Number one, the meaning of the term gather. Number two, the meaning of the term elect. And number three, I'll offer a probable interpretation of this passage. Let's look at the meaning of the term gather there. Now, some would jump to the conclusion and say, see, he's going to gather together his elect. That's the church. And there's going to be this trumpet. So that must be the rapture of the church. And this is at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a few problems with that interpretation. First of all, the term gather does not refer to a rapture. It talks about a regathering of the nation of Israel, bringing people back to the land. The term rapture is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it's from the Greek term harpazo, which means to catch up, to rescue from harm, and to lift up in a quick or violent manner. So the term for rapture is not found here in Matthew 24. Actually, we get the term rapture from the Latin term rapturos, which our English word rapture best fits. And I believe what is being described here is the Lord's going to regather the nation of Israel, the Jews, back to the land of Israel. That's when he'll set up a kingdom which will last for 1,000 years. The Messiah will sit on the throne of David, and he'll fulfill all the promises made to the Jews in the Old Testament at that point. And the Bible says that we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years there in Revelation chapter 20. I believe that's what's taking place here in Matthew 24. And in order to get at that, we need to identify who the elect is that he mentioned in this passage. Again, the verse reads, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other." So who are the elect that is mentioned here in verse 31? Let's look at a few things. First of all, the context. Jesus is speaking to a group of Jews, and they're asking about God's plan for the nation of Israel when he's going to establish the kingdom on their behalf. So this could not refer to Gentiles, but it's a plan that God has for the nation of Israel. These disciples don't care anything about the Gentiles at this point, and the Lord did not come to minister to the Gentiles, but to the house of Israel. That was his first ministry. So in the whole setting of Matthew 24, the entire context is a Jewish one. Then going on into the Old Testament, again, which we saw this week, that much of what is said, if not all, of Matthew 24 is somewhere found in the Old Testament. So you need to base your understanding of Matthew 24 based on Old Testament prophetic scriptures. And there's a couple passages from the book of Isaiah, which I think identify this elect very precisely. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12 are extremely important for us understanding what Matthew 24, verse 31 means. These verses read as follows. "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left." Then jumping down to verse 12, it says, "He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah." Judah is another term for the nation of Israel. "From the four corners of the earth." This is almost word for word what Jesus is saying in Matthew 24, verse 31. Going to gather together the dispersed. He's going to assemble the outcast. This is not talking about a rapture. This is talking about a gathering together back to the land. Also, Isaiah chapter 27, verses 12 and 13 read as follows. "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, O children of Israel. So it shall be in that day that the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." And it says one by one. A rapture is a gathering of a group of people all at once. This is one by one bringing them back to the land. And again, I do believe this has some historical fulfillment when the Lord brought the people back to the land of Israel, but then also it has a fulfillment which will take place at the end days as well, as we're seeing from the teaching of Jesus Christ. And also in this passage, you see this great trumpet that's going to be blown. In the land of Israel, when they wanted to have a holy convocation, a gathering, there were trumpets that were blown. Again, this is all in a Jewish historical setting. Another important passage from the Old Testament is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 and 4. It says that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. I do believe, again, this is speaking of generally in the nation of Israel. When they come under judgment, they'll be dispersed and God will gather them back. He's going to do that one more time when he comes back, and now they're going to come under his authority as he establishes this kingdom that will last on the earth for 1,000 years. I'd like to put one other thing together in relation to the elect that are being gathered together, this time from the New Testament, from Matthew 24, then also from Luke chapter 21. Right after the Lord says he's going to gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to other, he gives us a little parable in verse 32 and 33. He says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very door. So when you see all these signs that are being discussed in Matthew 24, know that something is right at the door. In verse 33, he says, it is at the door, and that seems to be kind of general. But we don't have to guess what that it is there in the context, because Luke 21 verses 29, 30, and 31 is a parallel passage, and it reads this way. And he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. That's what the disciples were looking for. They wanted to know when the kingdom was going to be established, when Israel would be restored to that place of prominence, where all the promises of the Old Testament would be fulfilled to them as a nation, and they could come into the fullness of the blessing. All that was promised to Abraham and to all the other fathers of the nation of Israel, what the prophets predicted. That's what the disciples were looking for. That's what the Lord was discussing with them. He wasn't talking about the role of the church. He was talking about the regathering of the nation of Israel when God's kingdom comes to the earth. Now, I'd like to give you a probable interpretation of what is being discussed in Matthew 24, verse 31. It is not the rapture of the church, but is a fulfillment of the promises that God made to the nation of Israel, that when they were dispersed, he would gather them back. And this time they're going to be gathered under the Messiah when he comes back. There's going to be all these signs that are going to happen. Then the Lord's going to come back and he'll gather the nation of Israel back unto himself, back under his authority. Then immediately there in Matthew 25, says the first thing that he's going to do is gather the nations together and judge them. He's going to base it on, first and foremost, their faith or lack of faith in Jesus Christ. And then as evidence, by the way, they have treated the Lord's people, because he said, when you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And there it speaks of that judgment that will be established when he comes back. Then he'll restore the nation of Israel to that place of great blessing. And I think there's a couple passages that we need to look at which speak of this restoration of the nation of Israel at the second coming of Jesus Christ, or immediately after the second coming of Christ. I think the clearest passage is from Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. And Zechariah 14, which we have read several times this week, relates to the second coming of Christ. Then verse 16 says what's going to happen after that fact. Verse 16 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So it discusses the second coming. Then it says all these other nations of the peoples that are left are going to go to Jerusalem year to year, worship the King, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Then verse 17 says they're going to be judged if they do not do that. It shall come to pass that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Then it lists the different families that will be judged if they do not come and give this worship to the Lord on a yearly basis. So here you have the second coming. Then you have a regular calendar that's going to take place after the second coming of Christ. And here the focus is on Jerusalem, the nations coming up to worship the King. I believe what the Bible predicts is the Lord's going to come back there, put his feet on the Mount of Olives, and that's where the second coming will culminate. He'll establish his kingdom there in Jerusalem, will sit on the throne of David, will rule with a rod of iron, will rule all nations, and will bring his blessing to the entire world flowing through the nation of Israel. as he is there ruling and reigning as the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this kingdom will last for 1,000 years, and that's why we refer to it as the millennium out of Revelation chapter 20. Now, unfortunately, at the end of that 1,000 years, it says Satan's going to be released because he'll be bound during that time period and will be able to deceive the nations one more time. And many will come against the Lord. Then it says fire is going to come out from heaven and devour those who have come against the Lord. Then at that point, there'll be the new heavens and the new earth, or that eternal reign where we won't have to deal with Satan. We won't have to deal with the weakness of our flesh or sin or any opposition to the Lord. And all things are going to be made subject to him. I believe that's God's plan in establishing his kingdom. And it all relates to Bible prophecy of the things that God promised to the nation of Israel. It'll all be fulfilled, as well as all the promises made to the Gentiles. I hope our study this week, as well as our detailed study of Matthew chapter 24, is helping you to get a better grasp on the events that will take place during the last days. And if we could help you in any way, in any topic, theologically or doctrinally, that is our supreme desire here at Solid Ground, that you would base what you believe on the Word of God. And we have many tapes that we've done on a lot of different topics. And if you'd like a catalog, we'll mail that out to you. You could contact us at our toll-free number at 1-877-941-LAMB, or look us up on the web at www.calvarylm.org. And there you'll see a list of studies that we've done, as well as the correspondence courses that we offer through our Bible Ministry School. We simply want to help you grow in your understanding of God's Word, because I know it'll strengthen your life as well as strengthen the body of Christ, which you belong to.